Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I'm your host, Brian Scott, and today we're going to explore some incredible writings from Henry Thomas Hamblin. The reason I like this is it comes from a book called Dynamic Thought, and it's set apart with several different lessons in order, and this has some incredible teachings and a meditation in it. And this is the first time that I've read anything by Henry Thomas Hamblin. He was amazing. I know I say that all the time, but many of these authors were amazing and they've disappeared, or you may not have heard of them. Henry Thomas Hamblin, who started the Hamblin Center, was born in Walworth, London in 1873. He was born into a poor family. He was determined to emerge from the rut which everyone was destined to fall into without being able to afford proper school and training. After a difficult start working in various jobs and being in debt, he decided to become an optician. Despite lack of money and poor prospects, his determination won him through and he qualified. And Hamblin went on to become an extremely successful businessman and founded Theodore Hamblin, now Dolland and Acheson. Frequented by royalty, the rich and the famous, far from making him happy, his success gave him a growing sense of depression. It was as if something lay inside of him that had not yet found a voice. And all through this, and all through his life, Hamblin had experienced visionary experiences where he came in contact with what he said was a divine presence. It is not possible to describe such an experience, he wrote. All care, anxiety, and fear vanished, and I felt that I was cradled in divine love. The deep peace of the eternal flowed through me like a river, yet at the same time, it was as though I was being carried along on a stream of divine bliss. Yet in the heat of his success, not only did these visions stop, but he became haunted by night terrors. Night after night, he would wake into the feeling that he was in hell. The sense of wrong in him deepened until finally he was forced to give up his business and retire to the country, and the nightmare stopped immediately. But the sudden and unexpected death of his 10-year-old son was to affect him more than his nocturnal experiences. He realized that none of his worldly success made him happy. This time he knew he had to give that unexpressed part of him a voice. And although he had been brought up in a very religious family, he hadn't found any of the answers he wanted in the church. He realized that rather than following any creed or dogma, which didn't work for him anyway, he had to look within himself. Once again, he made contact with the presence and realized it held the key to the peace he was searching for. All the time he was searching was leading him nearer to discovering the way his thoughts affected his performance and outlook and reality. It was around the early 1920s that he began to write, and he wrote a ton of books during this time. The word seemed to flow from him. He found writing clarified his thoughts. And one of his first books written in this new phase of his career was Within You is the Power, which was to sell 200,000 copies. Other books soon followed. Hamblin believed there is a source of abundance which, when contacted, could change a person's entire life. As long as people blamed their circumstances, they were stuck in the victim role. But if they moved in harmony with their inner source, their life could be full of abundance and harmony. And soon after this, Hamblin was to set up a magazine based on the principles of applied right thinking, the Science of Thought Review. Hamblin was discovered by the fact that he had no experience of editing or publishing. His experience had taught him that if the mind worked in harmony with the divine, then everything you needed flowed towards you. Anyone with any business sense at all knew that to set up a magazine with the first print run of 10,000 copies would be a risky thing, but Hamblin was to take many risks and he wanted to put what he believed into practice. Because in the 1920s, the Science of Thought Review was the only one of its kind in existence, its readership soon caught on and became worldwide. Among his friends and contemporaries that were to contribute to the magazine were Joel Goldsmith, Henry Victor Morgan, Graham Ilkin, Claire Cameron, Derek Neville, all of them prolific and successful writers and mystics. Hamblin worked right up to the end of his life in 1958 and left a legacy that is still continuing today, its voice as much needed today as ever. Hamblin believed that truth is essentially timeless. And he wrote about early mistakes. One thing he said, in our early stages, we are apt to think that if our life were made of more harmonious and our circumstances became easier, we would find a heavenly harmony. and if my life were different, and if I didn't have so many troubles, he said, and if I had more time to give to spiritual things, then I would be able to live this higher life of which you speak, is how many of us are tempted to think. But he would say this is a mistake. If our life were made easier, we should become weaker morally and less inclined than ever to advance in spiritual things and be of service. If we cannot make progress in spiritual life in our present circumstances, then we shall never, ever be able to make any progress at all. Many of his books contain very profound writings. The reason I'm reading from this is a first lesson. The name of the book is Dynamic Thought. And this is a first lesson on proper thinking, applying this thinking to create your reality and success and character building. There's a meditation that you'll find at the end of this, but this is a very good starting point. If this is the first time you're listening to the podcast, this is a great place to start. This is an initial lesson with a meditation that you can use to change the way you're thinking. If you're struggling, there may be reasons for that, and that is the way you think. And there is a way to change this pattern of thinking. And this first chapter I want to read is great, and we'll definitely come back to this in the future for further lessons along these lines. Dynamic Thought, Success, and Character Building, Part 1. Things to observe. Do not worry because you cannot follow the course exactly to the letter. Do what you can of it. Adapt it to your life and do the best you can in present circumstances. The principal thing is to get twice daily into what is called the silence, to quiet in the senses and get in touch with the unseen, God, divine mind, the infinite, principle of good, first cause, the absolute. The name does not matter. They all mean the same. Another vital thing is to use affirmations and denials. These will be explained more fully later. Yet another is meditation, for you gradually grow into the likeness of that upon which you meditate. Still another is visualizing. Always visualize the good, the beautiful, and true, and your life will reflect these things. Incidentally, the practice of visualization greatly increases one's power of concentration. Also, while you are receiving this course and for some time after, refrain from all hazardous speculation. Do not launch out in business without sufficient capital and then expect everything to turn out all right. Instead, wait until the way is made clear. Guidance and help will come in time. Therefore, do not try to force things. Remember that although as soon as you start right thinking, you begin to build up your life, yet it takes time to manifest. At first, things may seem to be worse. If so, keep on, and they will soon settle down. You cannot fail in the long run if you will persist and persevere. I want you to realize that within you are infinite power and possibilities, that the inward power can be aroused and brought into expression by holding high ideals in the mind and by affirmations and meditation, that it is necessary to spend a short time in the unseen both night and morning, that by so doing you can enter a superconscious realm where your word is creative, that what you speak comes to pass, that what you mentally picture must come true, that it is only by following high ideals that true success can be achieved. Therefore, picture a higher life, the highest you can conceive, and affirm that is yours. Remember that this higher life is without sickness, disease. Forward with joy. You can never fail. The objects of this course are 1, to alter your mental attitude, and 2, to direct your thoughts into those channels which lead to success, achievement, health, happiness, and perfect good. 3, the arousing of the inward power, and 4, the overcoming of bad habits, the buildup of character, and 6, the discovery and development of the creative faculty. How these are accomplished will be explained to you in the proper place and at the proper time. But first of all, I want you to consider thoughtfully what is before you. It is not exactly an easy road which you have chosen. No path that leads upwards ever is. The path of victory is always thorny. But when the thorns hurt the feet most, we can console ourselves with the thought that the path really does lead somewhere. And we know definitely that it leads to success, achievement, happiness, and satisfaction. Difficulties there will be, disappointments, failures, and setbacks. But to him who sets his face towards the light and will keep steadily onward, there must come success and accomplishment and victory above all expectation. If now you merely read this and pass on, the amount of good that it will do you will be none at all. This course is useless if you do not do it. Reading it will do you little or no good. It is the doing of it that will change your character and your life. Therefore, stop now and think carefully over the path that lies before you. Estimate its difficulties. Do not think lightly of them. Be prepared for difficulty and make up your mind here and now to conquer. You may have failed in the past, but this time you must, you will, and you shall overcome every difficulty and weakness and achieve dominion over yourself, victory over your circumstances, and complete control over your life. There must and shall be no failure this time. This time, you are going to succeed through the power that is within you. Now close your eyes and mentally picture yourself radiant, strong, successful, happy, full of the joy and zest of life. See yourself treading a path that leads ever upwards. Behind you, the air is murky and gloomy, but in front is increasing brightness and loveliness. See yourself progressing, climbing, winning. See yourself trampling old habits and weaknesses under your feet. See yourself meeting difficulties in your path, and see yourself sustained by a mighty inward power, brushing all obstructions aside and never faltering in your upward climb. Concentrate with all your powers upon this mental imagery. Persevere until you can see yourself radiant, sublime, shorn of all weaknesses and imperfections, the perfect image of your perfect self. See yourself full of vitality and health. See yourself successful, attracting both people and affluence to you. Make a concrete, sharply defined image in your mind of yourself as you desire to be. See yourself master of circumstances, attracting all good things by the power of your mental forces. Whatever you create in this manner, in your mental world, will later be manifested in your outward life. In other words, by mental imagery, you are creating your future self. You will gradually grow into the likeness of the image that you are now creating. Therefore, create the right image. Let your ambition be a high one. Do not picture yourself as a common man, satisfied with vulgar pleasures. Instead, create a perfect man, the most perfect of which you can conceive. In the same way, when you throw your mind forward and foresee the task before you and will that all difficulties shall be overcome, and that if you get weary of well-doing, you will not give up, but will persevere and arouse fresh interest in the task of self-culture and achievement, then you are already winning the battle in advance. You are making your ultimate success doubly sure. I want you to realize that this journey of yours is not a walkover. I want you to understand that it is a fight all the way, but at the same time to realize that it is a winning fight all the time. For although difficulties are real, yet you have within you the powers which make difficulties and obstacles melt away. Great and omnipotent is the power within you. Nothing can stay your upward climb. There is nobody who can prevent you succeeding except yourself. There is nothing that can stop your progress but your own doubt and fear. All things are possible if you believe they are possible. Unbounded confidence, the keynote of success. You cannot fail. You yourself are success. Another word for unfounded confidence is faith. Every successful man is a confident man. He believes wholeheartedly in his own power to succeed. This is not vanity or being too cocksure. Instead, it is either conscious or unconscious or subconscious realization of the inward power. This is why so few men are really successful. So few men ever arouse the mighty powers that are within them. So few men think the kind of thoughts that bring these powers into life and action. Every successful man is a man of faith. Every successful man is a man who cultivates hope. A successful man is always hopeful, is never a pessimist, and he brings that which he hopes for into being and reality by the strength of his faith. Therefore, I want you first of all to cultivate hope and faith. For those qualities, no one, no matter how gifted or clever, can ever succeed. That you have these two qualities is proved by the fact that you are reading this course. You've had the hope of winning your way to a life of success and power, and you have had the faith to believe that within you are the powers and forces which make this possible. Without hope, a man is as good as dead. Without faith, he is like a rudderless ship, drifting hither and thither with every wind and current. On the other hand, all things are possible to the man who has both these qualities. Cast your eyes over the lives of all men of great achievement, and you will see that they were all animated by hope and sustained by faith. They hoped for success and believed that they had it in them to achieve that success. In their darkest hours, they hoped on, believing that soon the reaction would come, which would carry them on to the accomplishment of their ambitions. Nothing has ever yet been accomplished by man on this planet without the inspiration of hope and the tenacity of faith. Hope reaches forward and claims success. Faith holds on until success is attained. Therefore, seek to develop these qualities to their fullest extent. It is a well-known fact that when man turns his face round and determines to fight his way to success, or to overcome evil habit, or to raise himself in any way, either mentally, morally, physically, or spiritually, then everything seems to happen to thwart his new intention and to throttle his new desires. So long as he goes on in his old way, drifting with the tide, floating about helplessly, the sport of fate and the prey of outside circumstances, so long as this goes on, nothing unusual happens. But directly a start is made in an upward direction, then all kinds of psychic powers seem to be let loosed, whose object appears to be to prevent the student from making any progress in his new life. When a man realizes his own interior powers and understands the vastness and wonder of his subliminal forces and determines to make use of them and thus become a king among men instead of a slave, then such a disturbance takes place that unless he possesses hope and faith, he will be tempted to turn his back on the new life and to sink back again into the old sluggish drifting existence, which leads to disappointment and despair. Those people variously known as Christian scientists, mental scientists, spiritual scientists, etc., no matter what they call themselves, they all deal with the powers of the mind, all experience the same thing. Even the health is affected in a curious way. Friends are peevish, irritable, little things go wrong in business, and generally one is out of sorts and all things are awry. When this experience comes to one, then is the time to exercise hope and faith. First of all, remember that the condition is only temporary. After a few days, in some cases it may be weeks, the health will improve. Friends will become genial and harmony will again reign in your life. When the entities that cause the disturbance realize that you mean to keep on and that you cannot be bullied into going back to the old life, they will quickly leave you. In any case, there is nothing to be afraid of, because these entities are helpless if one does not fear them. In other words, if you have hope and faith, you can win through. Hope for better times, although the present may be discouraging, faith in the sure belief that soon all the disagreeable symptoms will disappear. Hope on by faith. Hang on and keep hanging on, and you will win through. Do not be discouraged by seeming failure. Nothing was ever won without effort. What can be had without effort is not worth having. Take encouragement from the fact that this disturbance in your life proves that vital changes are taking place within, that the vast powers of your subliminal mind are beginning to awaken, and that the entities of your old erroneous beliefs and habits are taking their departure. Believe now that you can conquer and win through, and will conquer and win through. What you believe you can do, because all power is within you. There is nothing in all the world that can stop you, except your own doubt and fear. I want you to trust me to the extent of doing something, the underlying principle of which cannot be explained in this first lesson. I want you to make what is known as an affirmation. I want you to affirm the following. The old life is dead and buried. I have severed myself from it once and for all. Henceforth, I live the new life of success and power, of self-mastery and all accomplishment. First of all, memorize these words. Keep repeating them over until they sink deeply into your memory and their meaning finds a place in your consciousness. If you can get a few moments to yourself during the day, practice making the affirmations. The right way is as follows. Go into a quiet place. Whether you sit, stand, or lie down is immaterial. Now close your eyes and say the words over very earnestly. The old life is dead and buried. I have severed myself from it once and for all. Henceforth, I live the new life of success and power, of self-mastery and all accomplishment. Strive to realize all that they mean and address the words to your inner mind. It is your submerged mind that you are influencing, so address the affirmation very earnestly to it. Do this for several minutes and finish by making the affirmation into space. Hurl it out as a message to the universe, and by so doing, you will come into harmony with innumerable invisible forces who will help and strengthen you. Do not make the affirmation while in a state of strain and nervous tension. Relax yourself. Take a deep breath, and as you exhale, let your muscles go limp. Smooth out your nerves until your whole body is in a peaceful, easy state. Concentrate your thoughts on what you are doing. If they wander, bring them back and begin again. The more you concentrate, the better will be the result. The most important, in fact, the time above all times for making the affirmation is just as you're falling to sleep. There is a great psychological reason for this. If you can fall asleep while making the affirmation or while visualizing it, so much the better. Therefore, take no food or stimulants. It is better to avoid the latter altogether. Just before retiring. The reason cannot be given here because it would take too long, but it is an important one. In the early morning, immediately on waking is the next best time. Both times should be made use of and on no account be missed, but of the two, the one just before sleep is by far the most important. The influence of these two affirmations will be felt during the day. They will have an effect upon your mental outlook and upon the way in which you deal with problems of your day's work. But this influence can be intensified and buttressed up, as it were, by retiring into yourself at intervals during the day and mentally repeating the affirmation. This will give you a sense of power and confidence and hope, such as you have never experienced before. This is not imagination. It is your hitherto unsuspected interior powers being aroused into activity. When you have finished making the affirmation, again close your eyes and make a mental picture of yourself in the manner already taught. Endeavor to see yourself a radiant being with the old life and its murkiness and imperfections left far behind you. Picture yourself pressing forward to higher and better things, meeting difficulties, it is true, but overcoming them, trampling old habits, weaknesses, and imperfections under your feet. Try and realize that you have the power to raise yourself above the ordinary things of life, that you can breathe a rare and pure atmosphere. Picture yourself as a new being, happier, healthier, brighter, and more radiant than ever you have been at your most sublime moments. This will not be easy. It requires concentration and perseverance. You will find it difficult to see yourself as you wish to see yourself, or you'll find it not easy to see yourself clearly at all. Also, you will find it difficult to keep your mind concentrated upon the making of the image. There's only one thing to do, and that is to keep on trying. Thus, in the first lesson, do you come face to face with a battle royale. With most students, this visualizing is a great difficulty, but no matter how difficult it may be, it has to be overcome. If you fail to overcome this difficulty, then you fail in this course of lessons. If you fail to overcome now, you will fail in the larger things of life. The best way to overcome a difficulty is by getting interested in it. When you have developed interest, enthusiasm is aroused, and after that, concentration becomes comparatively easy. And this commands success. Therefore, get interested in this problem of visualizing. Remember that all men of great achievement have had this power greatly developed. Therefore, if you wish to be great and successful, you must first develop this same faculty. There has never been a great act or achievement in the world's history that was not first visualized in this manner. Everything is first created in the unseen before it is manifested in the seen. When you, by dint of practice, can visualize clearly and distinctly, you will have developed creative power, not figuratively, but literally so. Whatever you create in your mental world by means of visualizing will in time be manifested in the outer physical world. The outer world of matter is subservient to the inner world of mind. This is a great occult truth which has been withheld from ordinary people and has been until recently the closely guarded secret of certain secret orders. It is now given into your hands. You are put upon your honor not to reveal it to others. When they have reached a certain stage of their development, the knowledge will come to them by some channel or other, and in the meantime it does more harm than good to try to impart occult knowledge to those who are not interested or ready to receive it. I hope enough has been said to arouse your interest in and enthusiasm for visualizing. The more clearly you can visualize, the more clean-cut will be the results in your daily life. This creative power can be so highly developed that a sick man can make himself well. A poor man can change his circumstances from poverty to prosperity. And a miserable and despondent pessimist can change himself into a cheery optimist by visualizing and by denials and affirmations, which will be explained later. By meditation and by the exercise of hope and faith, the life, character, and circumstances can be transformed. The results are so extraordinary that it is very difficult to get people to believe them, but they are nonetheless real. Therefore, practice your affirmations and persevere with your visualizing. They will lead to results of which you can at present form but a faint conception. To obtain the best results from this course, it is necessary to set apart a special time every day for meditation and concentration. The reason man is so weak and unhappy is because he lives the whole of his time in the objective life, the shallow material life of the senses, and neglects the deeper, grander, and transcendental life of the inner mind. It is the inner life that gives power and peace and satisfaction. The outer material life of the infinite mind of the senses only bring worry and care. The inner life of the deeper mind brings strength, wisdom, understanding, and ability to accomplish and achieve. It is a proved scientific fact that you grow into the likeness of that upon which you meditate. If you meditate upon evil, then evil will come into your life. If you meditate upon revenge, your life will be turned into an inferno of trouble. On the other hand, if you meditate upon happiness and other higher mental states, then happiness will be yours. And if you let your thoughts dwell upon peace, then peace of mind will result. All these states and many others are within you. They can be called forth by meditation. You can call forth either good or evil, success or failure, strength or weakness, happiness or woe. Everything is in your own hands. I'm about to do the meditation. I'm going to read the instructions that he gives for the meditation afterwards. And then at the end of the meditation, I'll leave some silence so that you can go into the silence. When meditating upon these words, take each thought separately, in turn, and concentrate all your thoughts upon it. Not only grasp its meaning, but try and picture what it means. For instance, when you hear the words, "My life is transformed," when you think upon these words, try and see your life being transformed. See your weaknesses falling away from you like an old garment, and instead strength, success, and noble qualities being born in their place. Practice and concentrate and feel the power of this meditation. Meditation 1. To to be used every day and twice a day if possible between the hours of 6 and 9 a.m. and 9 and 11:30 p.m. Other times are suitable, but those mentioned will be found especially valuable to students, as between these hours their teacher is meditating upon the same thoughts, and the vibrations from his mind will be helpful to all who are tuned to receive them. Try and arrange to spend half an hour in meditation before retiring for the night. Sit in a quiet place, relax your body, and concentrate upon these words. Within me are infinite powers seeking expression. In the past, because I did not know of their existence, they have been stifled and suppressed. Now I will that they shall be called into activity and find perfect and full expression in my body, in the form of perfect health, in my life, in the form of success and achievement, in my heart, in the form of a mighty upwelling of joy and happiness. Now that I have discovered this hidden and inexhaustible store of power and energy, my life is transformed. Weakness gives place to strength, sorrow to happiness, morbidness to radiant joy, pessimism to divine optimism, despair to hope, failure to success, poverty to prosperity, sickness to health. Henceforth, only the highest good can come into my life. Now, by the power of my thought forces, I am allied with and joined to the infinite principle of good, and we have become one. Henceforth, for me, there is and can be no evil, only infinite good. All evil is now cast out of my life, because I am one with the infinite good. No evil can come nigh my dwelling. Nothing can harm or destroy. Henceforth, by scientific thinking, I control my life, for my life is the result or effect of my thoughts. When evil thoughts or weak thoughts or impure thoughts or failure thoughts or fear thoughts or poverty thoughts or hate thoughts or disease thoughts assail me, I will cast them out and think only of thoughts of love and strength and health and prosperity, of success and achievement, and of the infinite perfection which I am now allied and of which I form a part. This ends the metaphysical part of this week's lesson. The following are some brief hints of great value to the student beginning the study of scientific thought. 1. Everything works according to law. We each of us have what we deserve. 2. Covet no man's goods, possessions, or happiness. He deserves them. Let him alone. Realize that the universe holds all that you can possibly desire for you. 3. Hate no man. Hatred will come back like a boomerang and hurt you far more than it can the object of your hatred. Ignore what you cannot like and concentrate your mind on pleasant things. 4. Be true. Be honest. Be faithful. All these create vibrations which will bring back blessings and happiness to you. You have entered a life the power and possibilities of which you at present have no conception. If I described it now, you would not understand. But believe me, it is a life of power to accomplish and victory over all weaknesses. It is a life of prosperity and true success. It is a life of transcendent joy. It is a life of peace and blessing to you and your fellows. Look up. Keep looking up. Keep on affirming. Keep on visualizing. Keep on meditating. Keep on believing. Keep on hoping. What you hope for and believe and affirm and visualize is yours. Remember also that you grow into the likeness of that which you meditate upon. The brain is a very delicate instrument. It is the vehicle through which the mind finds expression. The mind cannot manifest its power if the brain is clouded by grossness of body. The one who would improve his or her mind, who would awaken the mighty powers within, must give up hurtful physical habits. It is useless to attempt to eradicate bad mental habits while the body is suffering from indulgence of any kind. For instance, it would be a waste of time to affirm all of any of the higher qualities of the mind and then go to bed intoxicated or full of pork chops and fried onions. Let your diet be on the light side. Always rise from the table slightly hungry rather than repleted, and never eat later than 3 hours before retiring to bed. For instance, if you go to bed at 11 p.m., do not eat at an hour later than 8 p.m. This is a most important point. The affirmations have more power if made when fasting. Therefore, the last thing at night and the time of waking in the early morning are the best times at which to perform them. There are physical and psychological reasons for this. Bathe the body every day and follow by rough toweling. Do not wear too much clothing. Avoid tight collars and neck bands. Take a fair amount of exercise. Walking is the best form for most people. When walking, keep the shoulders fairly well back, the back hollow, and the body well balanced over the hips. Above all, keep the head up. Do not look down, but look up. There is a reason for this. As regards diet, eat the food that agrees with you best, but eat, if you can digest them, one or two raw things every day. Raw, ripe fruit, salad, watercress, etc. Again, there is a reason. Masticate each mouthful of food until it becomes liquid. Get into the habit of breathing deeply and through the nose. Keep the mouth firmly closed. Keep your windows open night and day. Fresh air is cheap. Lastly, try always to maintain a cheerful frame of mind. Appendix. It will be helpful for you to think of your subliminal mind as another person, one who is always listening, listening, listening. He hears all that you say and acts upon all the thoughts that you let pass the threshold of the inner mind. Hush, he is listening, should be the watchword of your life. Let no thought of evil, of impurity, of weakness, of ill health, of failure, of hate, of anger, of fear enter your subliminal mind. For he will receive them as orders which he will obey, and being all-powerful, great and terrible will be the results. Therefore, let only thoughts of good, purity, strength, health, success, love, self-control, courage, and determination enter this greater mind of vast intelligence and power. Do this, and your subliminal mind will take these thoughts as orders, and will shape your life and health accordingly. Thus, in a general way, your subliminal mind will be led to develop your life on a healthful and successful, noble and harmonious lines. The visualizing taught in this course, also the denials explained later, affirmations, meditations, and other exercises, all have a very strong, deep scientific purpose in view. And this is the training of the subliminal mind. The affirmation and the visualizing taught in this lesson are given you in order to make a definite impression upon your subliminal mind. The main object of this lesson is to make a dent or impression on the subliminal mind and to make it realize that the old life is dead and that you have now entered a new life of health, success, and power. Your subliminal mind will accept this if you persevere with the visualizing and affirmations and will thus be prepared for the more advanced training which is to follow. Let "hush, he is listening" be the watchword of your life. And so this is the first lesson in the book Dynamic Thought by Henry Thomas Hamlin. And I will definitely explore these future lessons. If this is popular, I'll do it much faster. It depends on how much you guys respond to this. Personally, this feels very powerful and very specific to a certain kind of learning that happens at the very beginning of this process. I think it's easy to understand. It's applied very well. It's a good starting point, an understanding of when to meditate. There's some other interesting coincidences. Number one, treating the subconscious like it's a real person, something that Dolores Cannon recommended when she would do her QHHT sessions. Also, eating raw food is something that Vadim Zeeland, who wrote Reality Transurfing, advocates that increases your power. I also find it interesting, this is one of the first times I've seen the suggestion of affirming while fasting. This is something I honestly have not explored and I need to explore further, and it definitely motivates me to do so. So check out that meditation. I think the affirmation is pretty powerful and it's a good place to start to control your thoughts, to understand your thoughts. You are a result of the thoughts that you have. They are the basis for the actions and things that you create in your future. And so if you're just running through these thoughts of fear and anger, all of those things will continue to create problems in your life, especially hate, as he describes here, is a boomerang. So there's a point where if you were to sit back and look at your life and everything that you've created, the times that you've dwelled on hate, worry, fear, all of those things have a result in the way that you act in the world and the reality that you end up creating. So this is a very good place to start. If you're struggling in controlling your mind, then start with this meditation. We'll get to future lessons, but it is a joy to read Henry Thomas Hamlin's words. I believe that he was definitely inspired and had been through the process and knew of the pitfalls, and clearly this lesson is dealing with that. And it looks like these future lessons will deal with denials and additional ways of bringing about the power of dynamic thought. So I'd love to get your comments. Let me know what you think. If this is a powerful thing, we'll speed up the number of courses that we offer through this. And I do have some additional incredible thought leaders that had similar courses that I will be exploring now that I've finished the Raja Yoga series, which took me forever to finish. And I hope that doesn't happen again. But this one is just very powerful and it's a good starting point. Even if you never do any of the other lessons, this meditation and the suggestions in just this lesson are powerful enough to start the process. So if you have a friend or you know somebody that you think could really be helped by meditating, by changing the way they think, then give them this episode. It's a good starting point to change the way you think, to change the pattern of your thoughts, with some interesting guidelines on when to meditate and how it works and what kind of thoughts that you want to have. Scientific thought, which is what he describes it as. All episodes of The Reality Revolution can be found at therealityrevolution.com, and welcome to The Reality Revolution.